Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. We're going to read one verse together in unison, verse 15. And then we'll be turning to two other verses. Ephesians, chapter 4, verse number 15. Ephesians 4:15, and let's read that verse in unison together. Ready? But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. 1 Peter 2, verse number 2. We'll read this verse in unison together as well. First Peter chapter 2, verse number 2, and let's read that verse together in unison. Ready? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, just a few pages over. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. Again, let's read this verse together in unison. Ready? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Lord, thank you for a church that's not satisfied with just what's here. Lord, there's a lost and dying and desperate world out there that needs you. Thank you for a preacher that you've given vision to. Thank you for the Word of God to give us the energy and the methods. Now, Father, please be with our preacher. Fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, change our lives, so that we could go out and do the work that you have for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning's sermon goes hand in hand with the kickoff of our spring program, Rooted, Grounded, and Growing. I thought I would start with this. An old Italian lived alone in New Jersey. He wanted to plant his annual tomato garden, but it was very difficult work as the ground was very hard. His only son, Vincent, who used to help him, was in prison. The old man wrote a letter to his son and described his predicament. "Dear Vincent," the old man said, "I'm feeling pretty sad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year. I'm just getting too old to dig up the garden. I know if you were here, my troubles would be over. I know you would be happy to dig the plot for me like in days of old. Love, your papa." A few days later, the old man received a letter from his son. "Dear Pop, don't dig up the garden. That's where the bodies are buried. Love, Vinny." At 4 a.m. the next morning, the FBI agents and local police arrived and dug up the entire area without finding any bodies. They apologized to the old man and left. That same day, the old man received another letter from his son. "Dear Pop, go ahead and plant the tomatoes now. That's the best I could do under the circumstances." We read earlier three passages of Scripture. One from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, where it said that speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2 speaks, it says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Of course, spring is in the air, and we kind of had a quick spring here. It's come upon us very quickly, and everything is blooming. You've got flowers blooming, and the trees are blooming. I have Brother Nash; he's a blooming idiot. Everything is blooming, and it's beautiful out there. Now, one of the comments I love to hear from our people, I love to hear them say, "Preacher, I'm growing. I'm growing. I'm growing in the Lord." And that's how it ought to be. Our program called Rooted, Grounded, and Growing. And we ought to be growing. I have you can see in the decorations, I have some stuff that's called Miracle-Gro here. Now, I got to reading on this this container, and it does some advertising. This Miracle-Gro, it says on here that it promotes vibrant growth. It says it promotes what they call beautiful growth. It says on here on the back, it talks about Miracle-Gro being able to grow you strong or grow the plant strong. It promotes root growth, R-O-O-T, root growth. It actually promotes clean growth. You see, we care about our plants. You see all the greenery around the church here and our decorations. And we're promoting growth. And that Miracle-Gro helps a plant to grow. It'll help a flower or a bush or a tree or the grass to grow. You know, one thing that we all want to keep in mind, the church's growth is not just numerical. Spiritual growth is a goal. Spiritual growth is the primary goal of a church. Now, but I'll tell you this, if a church is truly growing spiritually, I think the church will grow numerically. You say, why is that? That's because part of spiritual growth is winning others to Jesus Christ. If you're growing in the Lord, you will not be satisfied with just your salvation. If you're satisfied with just your salvation, you've not grown much. Because heaven is so wonderful and salvation is so wonderful. If you're really growing, you're going to want other people to be saved. So a part of spiritual growth will be a numerical growth. If you're growing spiritually, you're going to grow in regard to a love for others. Well, the more a church loves others, then there'll be a numerical growth there because people will come to be loved. A part of spiritual growth is a desire to reclaim the backslidden. And if you have no desire to see the backslidden reclaimed, you're not growing spiritually. Something's wrong. But when you want to see the backslidden reclaimed, that's a picture of spiritual growth. And that spiritual growth right there is going to lend to numerical growth. You see, soul winning adds to numerical growth. Love adds to numerical growth. Reclaiming the backslidden adds to numerical growth. Hey, just learning the Bible will add to numerical growth in the sense that once you start learning the Bible and you realize how precious it is and what it'll do for your life, you're going to say, I want other people to get in on this. I don't want people to miss what I'm learning. Therefore, we reach out and we grow numerically because we have grown spiritually. Now, it's not always true that if something is growing numerically, that it is growing spiritually. Not everything that is growing is alive in the right way. Some so-called churches are increasing numerically because now they've decided to start having rock concerts down at the church. They have no separation, no standards, anything goes. And they think, you know, if we just won't be holy down at the church, then the world will be attracted to us. Well, I don't think we ought to accept any doctrine or any form of growth. I don't believe that. They won't take a stand on the King James Bible. They won't take a stand against sin. They'll have drama instead of preaching. And so there are some churches or so-called churches that tend to grow. I have to tell you this story. They may be growing, but their growth is not the right kind of growth. That's sour growth. That's not the kind of growth that God intended. Hey, there is a way for a church to grow and still be old time religion. You do not have to become like the new Christian movement to grow. You can grow the same old time way that they grew in years gone by. We if you do not know, a few years ago, we purchased, the church did, a little house that's here on the corner of our property. We bought it and then we turned it into the church building where our Spanish ministry meets. But I have to tell you, when we bought it, I went down to look at it before we purchased it. And there was an old refrigerator in there. The electricity to the place had been turned off for a little while. There was an old refrigerator in there. And I looked in that refrigerator. I was walking through the house and there hadn't been anybody living in it in a while. But they had left a gallon of milk in the refrigerator in a plastic jug. Now, the great part about it is you would have thought it being there as long as it was, it would have been, you know, half empty. This thing, what a blessing. It was swollen beyond capacity. They didn't leave me half a gallon. I mean, it was swollen to the point that it was puffed out. How many of you, raise your paw, how many of you know what I'm talking about? That thing was swollen, and I mean, it was big. But here's what had happened. It looked like that milk jug had grown. What had happened, though, is the milk in it had soured. That which was soured was multiplying. It was curdled and ready to explode. But it had grown sour. You can look around and you will find so-called churches that tend to be looking like they're swelling, but there's sour doctrine in them. And there's sour religion in them. And I'm not looking for sour growth. I'm looking for sweet growth. The old time religion growth. And everybody's throwing in the towel saying, well, you can't grow a church in this day and age if you're going to get up and preach like you preach and stand the way you stand. I'm very sorry. That's not true. God's still alive and the Bible's still true. And you can still grow and see both spiritual growth as well as numerical growth in this day and age. But you don't have to dip your sails. You don't have to become like the new modern movements and leave behind the old time religion. There are people that will say, I left the church because I was not growing there. Now, let me tell you something. That could have been your fault. I left so thus and so church because I was not growing there. Now, that could have been your fault. Now, it could have been the spiritual chef. Maybe he was not giving nutritious food. I don't know. This bottle of Miracle-Gro. I just got to thinking about it. And I got to thinking that, you know, I want my church to grow. There's a lot of things about growth, and if you today, and listen to me, I don't care how smart you are, how long you've been saved, if you'll listen to the sermon today, it will create something inside you unless you have some sort of a rebellion going on. It will create a desire inside you, and it should. I call the sermon Miracle Growth. Miracle Growth. Let me ask you a question. Are you growing in the Lord? Do you know if you think that you have arrived, you have not? Listen to me carefully. I'm going to tell you what it takes to grow in the Lord. First of all, you're going to have to realize you need to grow. You have got to realize you need to grow. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, folks. Here it's telling us to grow in this knowledge of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You don't know everything about the Bible, and you don't know everything about God, and you don't know everything about the Christian life. And it is so vast. Nobody on the face of this earth has ever or will ever know it all. But you have got to, you must realize you need to grow. We all need to grow. Those of you that are brand new Christians in our church, you need to grow. Those of you that are what we'd call middle-aged Christians in the church, you need to grow. Those of you that are older Christians in the church, you need to grow. Those of you that you are what we would call a layman, you're a part of the regular attendance or the congregation, you need to grow. But hey, those of you that are church employees, you need to grow. You are to grow all the way to heaven. You know, we make a real big deal about our children's physical growth. You know, this is what we used to say to our boys growing up. They would get out of diapers, and one of the things that we did to entice them, we would say, wouldn't you like to wear big boy pants? Made a big deal about that. Big boy pants. What was it? Well, we're getting out of the training pants and we're getting out of the diapers. We make a big deal about the physical growth of our children. Oh, grandma will see the grandchildren and say, you're getting so big. I mean, you're just growing. I cannot. The last time I saw, you're almost as tall as your mom. You're almost as wide as your dad. You'll say to a girl, and be careful saying this, oh, look at what a big girl you've become. Well, we hope that slowed down. But we'll make a great big deal about physical growth. Well, folks, just so you know, physical growth is secondary. Let me ask everybody here. When was the last time you said to your child or your grandchild, boy, you are growing in the Lord? Let me say to everybody, you're not a finished product and nobody is. You don't know it all. I am growing as your pastor. And that is because of a restaurant called Five Guys down in Winchester. Oh, I got to tell you, those of you that are visitors today, I've been on a diet since, I think it was back near Christmas, back in November, December. And I love Five Guys hamburgers. I'm going to tell you all. I backslid. I backslid. Last week was spring break, and I was tempted by my wife. I was tempted. That woman, it's just like Adam and Eve. She took me down, I'm telling you. I was doing fine, and it was spring break, and we had an afternoon of a date, and I was going to go get some rabbit food, a salad, and Mrs. Owen said, "Honey, come on. Let's go get a cheeseburger." I said, "No. No. My car got off the wrong exit." But you know, we're all to be growing. I am, physically. You know, spiritually, you're not supposed to stay small forever. We don't want that for our children. We want them to grow up. But let me say, you must realize, if you're going to grow, you must realize you need to grow. Now, I wish I could figure out a way to get this across to you. But there are people sitting under the sound of my voice. What I said is almost too simple for you. You think it needs to be more complex. What does God need to do? Does God need to take a 2x4 to you and slap you upside the head to make you realize you're not growing? Let the Holy Spirit of God get a hold of you for just a second. Answer this question. Are you growing in the Lord? Are you? Some of you are exactly where you were years ago. Matter of fact, you're further behind. And until you realize you need to grow, you won't grow. Realize it. Wake yourself up. Slap yourself. Some of you are spiritually treading water. Some of you are stuck in neutral. And you need to start growing again. So, may I say, first of all, if you want some miracle growth, you need to realize you need to grow. Number two, not only do you need then to realize that you need to grow, you've got to, number two, be willing to grow. Now you're going to have to be willing to grow. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." The word desire there. You know, when a baby wants milk, you can tell. I mean, when a baby wants fed, that baby's going to let you know. Everybody knows that kid wants fed. They either want fluid coming in or some fluids come out and something needs changed. Let me ask you a question. Can the people around you tell that you're hungry for the Word of God and that you want to grow? The Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. The Bible's saying a baby is starved and hungry and they have to have it and they're passionate about their food. Let me ask you, are you passionate about wanting to grow in your Christian life? Do you cry for spiritual food? Or do you push it aside? Do you want to grow? Hey, do you desire to grow for God like you desire to have money? Some of you are passionate about getting money. What would happen if you became passionate to grow? Some of you are passionate about clout in life. You want clout. You want power. You want influence. For people to listen to you. Wonder if you are as passionate about growing in the Lord as you are passionate about your clout. Wonder if you are as passionate about growing in the Lord as you are about getting the things of life. You want furniture and cars and houses and boats. Wonder if you were as passionate. You married people. Wonder if you are as passionate about growing in the Lord as you become passionate about the intimate desires of your life with your mate. You will grow if you want to grow. But the thing is, we're so eaten up with desires for other things, we don't have so much desire to grow in the Lord. Right. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You've heard that before. You can lead a Christian to a biblical knowledge, but you can't make them grow. You know, some of you need to become passionate about growth. I wonder sometimes, and I guess I do know why we come to church. There's many reasons why. But you ought to be coming to church so you will grow in the Lord. You come to church to grow in the Lord. Now, some of you, it's time for you to begin to grow again. Some, you know what's right to do. And your growth is going to be now doing what you know is right. We're all spiritually educated beyond our desire to perform. We all know enough that we could grow today if we wanted to. I'm a 51-year-old pastor. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm older than you. How can I learn from you? Now, you may be older than me, but you're not older or wiser than the book that I preach. You may be older than me, but you're not wiser than the Holy Spirit of God that helps me to teach. You're not older than my boss, because my boss is the everlasting one. And you're not older and smarter than the truths of this book. How old somebody is doesn't really have an awful lot to do with whether you're smarter than them or not. I know some pretty stupid old people. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to be realistic. I mean, when I was 16 years of age and I was going to church on a regular basis, I saw drunks at the age 20, 30, and 40. They didn't want anything to do with the Lord. I think there was an element of wisdom that I had at 16 that they didn't have at their age. And so let me say, you say, but for me to grow under your teaching, how could that be? You have to remember, I'm not teaching Jeff Owens. I'm teaching Jesus Christ. He's the everlasting one. That makes him older and smarter, and he knows more than you. Ask yourself this question. Do I truly want to grow? Do I want to grow in the area of Bible knowledge? Do I want to grow in the area of my separation from the world? Do I want to grow in the area of learning to be a good follower? Do I want to grow in getting along with people? Do I want to grow in holy living? Do I want to grow in my faith? Do I want to grow in my obedience to God? Do I want to grow in my prayer life? Listen. You watch the new Christians around here. They have a desire to grow. Hey, some of you old timers, are you seeing it? Have you noticed that we launched about a year ago a campaign to get a bunch of new adults into our church, and they are everywhere? Do you see the passion and the excitement and the thrill about them? What makes you think that you were supposed to lose that? What makes you that's been in the church a while think that you were to lose your passion and you were to lose your zeal and you were to lose your excitement? It's sad that there are new Christians that are growing, but you're not. He said, but I've already grown. I told you earlier, it doesn't matter how much you've grown. You have just as much distance to grow today as you ever had. Not using me as a standard, but using Jesus Christ as a standard. You've got a long way to go, baby. And you look at the new Christians as excited about Jesus. Wouldn't it be sad that somebody that barely knows Jesus is more excited about about Jesus than those of us that have known him for a long time? How could you be getting bored with Jesus? Evidently, you're not grown as much as what you think. We ought to grow. Ask yourself, am I growing in my faith? Am I obedience? Am I growing in my prayer life? Folks, you can't stay spiritual. You're not supposed to stay spiritually little. You're to grow up. Be feedable. Be feedable. Be teachable. I don't know what it was. Our grandson, Trey, Mrs. Owens, was feeding him a week or so ago. She had put something in his mouth, and it did not seem like the thing to do. He went. Then she went to give him another shovelful. He clamped his lips. I don't blame him. You ever taste some of that junk? Let me tell you what I go through as a pastor. There are people in this room. I'll give you a bite of something from the Bible, and you go, you spit it all over me, you spit it all over the people around you, and then you clamp your mouth. There are people in here, you've had your mouth clamped for years. Right. Hey, listen, be feedable, be teachable, be a learner. Don't be embarrassed to grow. Are you afraid to let people see you change? So I've been in the church so long. If I change this or change that, that would mean I was not perfect prior. Well, we sure wouldn't want to mar your sinful reputation, would we? You would hate to think there would be a major change that needed to be made in your life. That might mean you were wrong. Previously, and you You've been in the church too long to be wrong, right? You see, y'all okay? Stay with me now. I want the Holy Spirit to convict you, but I don't want Him to knock you out during the sermon. You're afraid to let people change. You wanted them to think you had it all together. You want your family to think you've got. I know people that know there's things that ought to change about them. They're embarrassed to death to make the change because their family will think less of them. And they, through their pride, have been staunch about something. You won't make a public profession about any changes that need to be made in your life. Why? You know, it doesn't hurt all of us to admit that we need to grow and to tell others. For some who are new Christians, listen to this. Some of you that are new Christians, this thing about growth, you got to be willing to grow. For some of you who are brand new Christians, there are some old teachings of the Bible that are new to you. Now grow in them. Now for others, you're older Christian and there's nothing new in the Bible. You just need to increase the level of your participation in the old. Whatever you do, don't start chasing. Some of you that have been in the church 20 and 30 years, you better be careful what kind of junk you watch on television, what kind of trash you pick up down at the so-called Christian bookstore, what kind of evangelists you're listening to on the radio. Because if you're not careful in an attempt to grow, you're going to go out and get you some new weird doctrine. You're going to give up on the old inspired, preserved King James Bible. You're going to give up on some things because you say, I want to grow, but I got to find something new. You don't need anything new, mature Christian. You need more of the old. You just need to increase your prayer life and increase your Bible reading and increase your soul winning. But it's time for some people to start growing again. But I say, number one, you got to realize you need to grow. Number two, you got to be willing to grow. Number three, to grow, you must live what you don't understand. To grow, you must live what you don't understand. This is simple. This is just as simple as pie. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, verse 7, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Notice it says, trust in the Lord. Notice it did not say you have to understand. It said you have to trust. Yes. To achieve health to your body, you have to trust what you're told about a healthy body. You trust your doctor to give you medicine that you don't understand. You don't believe it? You can go down to a physical, you know, an MD. He'll give you a prescription. You'll take it. You don't pay attention to what you're putting into your body, but you trusted him to make you healthy. Don't you think you ought to trust God to make you healthy? The same thing is true. We will trust our doctor about the health and the well-being of our physical body, then we won't trust Dr. Jesus about the health and well-being of our spiritual self. I said to grow, you don't have to understand. You just trust God. Now let me explain. You don't have to understand something to obey it. And some of you that think you're real, real brilliant, you say, well, if I don't understand it, I'm not going to do it. That's not how you raise your kids. When you say to your child, you say to your grandchild, you say to someone, some child that you're watching, you don't say to them, obey. And the child looks at you and says, well, I don't understand, so I'm not going to obey. Now, if you tell a child to sit down, you expect them to sit down and trust the authority. You know, when kids are growing up, you say, clean your room. And the child says, well, I don't understand why. It really doesn't matter why. I said, clean your room. You say, well, what are you trying to do? Create blind loyalty. Look, cleaning the room is good for that child, whether the child understands it's good for him or not. There is a reason behind it. And so to grow, you have to live what you don't understand. Children don't understand everything that the parent is teaching them, but the child needs to go ahead and submit to it so that they might grow. By faith, obey God's word and the preaching of his word. It'll help you to grow. Listen to this. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Folks, you won't grow if you don't have faith. Faith is applying yourself in an area that you don't even totally understand. It talks about faith growing exceedingly. For your faith to grow, you're going to have to trust in the Lord. It takes, remember, it said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine understanding. You say, if I don't understand it, I'm not going to do it. You don't do that with everything else in life. You ladies, you do not understand how the engine of that car works, but you put the key in, turn it on, and drive it around and trust your life to it. You will flip the switch for the electricity at home and have faith that everything's going to be okay. You don't give a second thought about the fact that you don't understand all the principles behind that electricity. And then you'll come to God in God's Word and say, well, if I don't understand it, I'm not going to do it. It takes not leaning on your own understanding to grow. You say, I want to know why I am to do thus and so. You know, it should be enough that God said so. By faith, the Bible says, love your enemies. You say, I don't understand that. Okay, I'm sorry that you don't. I hope that you understand it someday. Could I recommend something to you? Love your enemies. Say, I don't understand it. Love your enemies. Love your enemy anyway. Why? Trust God. God's smarter than you. The Bible teaches after you get saved, you're to get baptized. You say, that doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't have to make sense to you. It's what God said to do. You ought to just obey it. The Bible teaches a thing called tithing. You say, I don't understand it. Well, that's where you give 1/10 of your gross income to the Lord, to the church. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I did it by faith when I first started tithing. I didn't understand it. You know what they told me? I went to church. The pastor said, if you will give 1/10 of your income to the Lord, you'll have more money. And I said, my mama raised one stupid kid. That's my brother. If I give 1/10 of my money to the Lord, I'll have more money. I had to do it by faith. I had to do it. I did not understand it. How many of you would say that you agree that if you give 1/10 of your income to the Lord, you have more money? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my goodness. What are you doing? Are you doing that by faith? So in other words, you don't have to understand how. You're just to obey. Now, I'm not against understanding. I'm for understanding. But if you all are going to wait until you have total understanding of everything, you're going to grow so slow it's pathetic. You could go ahead and trust God and get started in your growth. The Bible does not say to live only what you understand. I don't know. I almost feel like there are people in this room that you've been taught that. You only have to live what you understand. Is that right? Well, what if someone told me they didn't understand why they can't kill somebody else? Say, well, come on. No, you don't have to understand to obey something that's right. There are all sorts of people out there that don't understand things, but we require them to do what they don't understand. Right. If you understand it all, then you'd probably be as smart as God, wouldn't you? I guess you no longer need Him. Maybe you can become part of this humanistic society that you think your brain's bigger than God's. And you'll decide what morality is. And you'll decide what right and wrong is. The reason you're not growing is because I think for some of you it's a lack of faith. Some, if you don't understand it, you won't obey it. You're too impressed with your own mind to trust God. God owes you no further explanation. If God tells you to do something, whether you understand it or not, you ought to snap in line and do what God said. Say, well, my brain's so big, I'm so well educated that if I don't understand it, I'm not going to do it. You know, there are a lot of things you'll never be obedient to then. Because God is so vast and so much bigger than you, you will live in disobedience because of your impression. You're so impressed with your own brain. You'll like this. A husband and wife are standing at the window admiring their garden. Sooner or later, you're going to have to make a proper scarecrow to keep the birds off the flower bed, said the wife. What's wrong with the one we've got? Asked the husband. Nothing, replied the wife, but my mother's arms are getting tired. Listen, you want some growth? You want some miracle growth? How are we going to get there? You need to realize you need to grow. You want some miracle growth? You got to be willing to grow. You want some miracle growth? To grow yourself, you have to live what you do not understand. You do it by faith. Hey, you want to grow? Then you may have to live something that you don't like. I said live something you don't understand. Now, let me tell you, you may have to live something you don't like. Romans chapter 7, verse 14 and 15 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." In Romans 7, verse 18 and 19, Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but that the evil which I would not, that I do." Here's what was happening. Paul had to force himself to do spiritual things. Paul said, there are some things that I don't want to do. And there are some things that I want to do. And he said, I've got to make myself do what I'm supposed to do. He required himself to do what his flesh did not want to do. But because of it, the Apostle Paul grew. So I say to you, not only are you going to find yourself in a situation where you'll have to, if you want to grow, you'll have to do some things you don't understand. But also, if you want to find yourself growing, you'll have to live some things that you don't even like. Do you think your flesh likes everything about the Spirit? Absolutely not. Our flesh does not want to do spiritual things. Let me explain. Your flesh is trying to grow itself. I'm not talking about your body now. I'm talking about your fleshly nature. Your fleshly nature is trying to grow. And your spiritual nature is trying to grow. And there's a competitiveness that's going on there. Look, we have got to learn to do what we don't like if we're going to grow. I'll give you some examples. Let's take some examples of the body. Our physical self, if you will. I don't enjoy getting up in the morning. But I have to get up in the morning. Because it's good for me to get up in the morning. And if I don't get up in the morning, I'm not going to succeed. So I make myself do what I don't like to do. But it's the right thing to do. You say, well, preacher, in regard to this Christianity, if it doesn't come easy, if it doesn't come natural, if it's not fun, it just doesn't seem like it's something that God would want me to do. No, you're very wrong. You're very wrong. You're to do what you don't like to do. If your flesh says, I don't like that, well, you just tell your flesh to do what God said anyway. You take the physical example of, okay, I'll go somewhere to eat and they give me a choice. I could have a salad or some chocolate cake. Well, I'm trying to be on a diet. Not doing a very good job of it, but I'm trying to be on a diet. My taste buds say, go for the chocolate cake. Go for the chocolate cake. Go for the chocolate cake. Jeff Owens has to tell Jeff Owens, eat the salad. Then have the cake for dessert. You earned it. It's like exercising. Some of you, the only, you know, you say, exercise. Okay, good. You're supposed to exercise. Yeah, and you may have to tell yourself to exercise. I'm not talking about taking laps around a piece of pumpkin pie. We make ourselves do what we do not want to do. Now, you listen to me. In the physical realm, we will make ourselves and our children do what they do not understand because we know it's a part of growth. Well, it applies to the spiritual life too. And then we in the physical realm will make ourselves do what we don't like to do. Why? Because it is best that we make ourselves do what we don't like to do. And then when it comes to the spiritual realm, we don't think it applies. Yes, it does. There are times when you'll have to make yourself do something that you don't want to do, but it is a part of growth in Christianity. We require it of our kids. Your kids are not always going to want to go to school, but you make them go to school. You make your kids take a shower. Is that because they want to take a shower? You make your kids eat their greens. I'm not talking about green jelly beans now. But we require it. In life, folks, it's not all what you want to do. The truth of the matter is, bottom line in Christianity, it's not about what you want to do. It's about what God requires.
You say, well, I don't like it. Okay, I'm sorry you don't like it, but you need to do what you're supposed to do because it's right to do. You say, I don't understand it. Okay, but whatever part of it you do understand, you better dead sure go ahead and obey it. God doesn't owe you further explanation. You say, because I don't understand, I don't have to obey. You tell that to the police officer. Boot camp. Brother Nash, you were in boot camp. Did they tell you to do what you liked at boot camp? No? You pick what you like and what you don't like and do what you want. No? Some of you don't like to read. Listen to me. Some of you don't like to read. You will never grow spiritually if you don't make yourself do what you don't like to do. You do not like to read. You're going to have to learn to read your Bible. Period. And because you don't like to read, you're not growing as a Christian because you won't make yourself do what you don't like to do. There are people in here, you're at a stalemate in your Christianity. It's because you don't have the character to make yourself open up the Bible and sit there and read it. You're so television spoiled and so spoiled with all your games and everything, you can't sit and read. Make yourself read. You say, it's not pleasant. Okay, grow up and do in life what's not pleasant. It's what big people do. That's why you're not growing. Because you won't make yourself do what you don't like to do. Look, some of you don't like to be still. You don't like to be still. That's why you can't pray. You can't pray because you can't be still. Make yourself be still. He say, when I'm praying, I'm just a little bit miserable because it's hard for me to be still. Let me tell you something. You're better off praying and being miserable and doing it anyhow than saying, ah, fooey on it. Right. It's funny how doing the right thing that you don't like can become something you will like. Yes, sir. If you will make yourself do the right thing that your body and your flesh does not like right now, eventually it could become something you will like. You take, for instance, when I first got into church, I didn't like the church music. I didn't like the church music. Why? Well, first 15 years of my life, I'd grown up around rock and roll and country music, which both are sinful. I liked the sinful stuff. My flesh liked it. I had to make myself give it up. Start listening to the right stuff. You know what today? I'd rather hear a group like I heard sing here in this church a little while ago. I'd rather hear that than any other music in the world. But I didn't start there. It didn't taste good to me at first. I had to make myself. I had to develop my appetite. It's just something you do if you want to grow. You require it of yourself. And let me tell you, if you want to grow, you may have to live what you don't like. It's a part of growth. Let me tell you this also. Don't attack the areas in which you're not willing to grow. That's where most of your church troublemakers come. If you're not willing to grow in a given area, don't go around attacking everybody that has grown in that area. You say, well, I don't like this. Well, if you're not going to grow in that area, okay, just sit there and be quiet. But why go around attacking everybody in an area where you have chosen not to grow? I say we ought to all put ourselves in a situation where we can grow. Well, I have about 10 pages of notes we're going to skip over. I'm going to skip 2 points and get to the conclusion. Are you glad? Let me say one more thing quickly. If you want to grow, you're going to have to attempt to do what you currently cannot. I said you have to do what you don't understand to grow. You're going to have to do what you don't like to grow. And you're going to have to do what you can't do to grow. That's what growth is, right?
Yes, sir.
Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You currently can't do all things, but you could. Because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This is how people grow. You know what you have to do? If you want to go in the Christian life, you got to risk failure. Some of you, all you do is what you can do. What would happen if you tried to do what you can't do? Isn't that how we teach children to grow? Did you say to your kids, look, I'm only going to require you to do what you can do? Well, when they started out, they couldn't do anything. Do you have any idea how anemic the spirit of man is? Only do what you can do. To me, it makes me sick at my stomach when a coach won't push boys to excel. Excel. It's almost offensive today. If you push people to excel, our anemic society is offended with it. Look, if you want to grow, you'll have to attempt to do what you currently cannot do. There's some of you, you're good at what you do. Why don't you launch out and do something that you can't do? Oh, look, at one point in life, you couldn't do anything and you had to learn how to do everything. Why did you give that up when you hit about 6 or 7 years of age? Why do you think that now that you have graduated from college, you're to cease to grow? You ought to be looking at new horizons and learning to do something else for God. Our problem is we want to do just enough to survive. You're not supposed to just survive. You're supposed to succeed. You have a potential, but you're not fulfilling it. You're to fulfill your potential. Some of you need to learn to run a bus route. Say, I don't know how. I know. That's why I said learn to run a bus route. Some of you need to learn to sing a solo. Say, I don't know how. I know. It's called growing. Some of you need to learn to win someone to Christ. You say, I don't know how. I know. The whole lesson's on growing.
Yes, sir.
Some of you need to learn how to teach a Sunday school class. You say, I don't know how. I know. It's called growing. Look, folks, if all we do is what we know how to do, we don't grow.
Right.
So you do what you don't understand. You do what you do not like. You do what you cannot do. That's how we learn to grow. You're going to have to face it. I need to grow. You've got to be willing to grow. And then you tear into the thing.
Yes, sir.
I don't totally understand it. Yes, but that's what's holding you back. Now, one last thing. You can't grow in the Lord until you're in the Lord. You can't grow in the Lord until you're in the Lord. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll never grow in the Lord. You can't. You have to be in the Lord. That comes through salvation to grow in the Lord. Some of you that have attempted to serve God, you say, you know, Pastor Owens, I've tried. And for some reason, every time I try Christianity, I fail at it. Let me tell you the key. Get saved. And then living for Christ becomes easier. Salvation is the beginning point. You get saved and then the living for Him, He helps you with it. When you don't get saved and you try to live for Him, you don't have that extra help that you need. Salvation will give you it'll give you the miracle grow that you need to begin to live for Him. So I ask you this question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? If you say, I don't know for sure. You know, I've been to church and I've been around some, but if I die today, am I 100% sure I go to heaven? I don't know that. Okay, why don't you get saved today and let's get you growing, get you saved, get you rooted. That's through salvation, grounded and growing. But you got to get started through salvation. So if you're not saved today, why don't you come get saved? If you are saved today, well, what rate are you? Hey, are you backslidden? You say, oh, I'm not drinking. I'm not out getting drunk. No. Are you backslidden in regard to growth? Are you a neutral? Growth. Growth. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Who here would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure of that. I want to get it taken care of. I do want to grow, but I know I need to be born again. I'm not saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? I don't know for a fact I'm saved. God bless you. I see that hand and I see that hand. You've got to be saved first. That's the initial thing. You can't grow in the Lord until you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Who else? You'd raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I'm not born again. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I want it. I want the success of growth. I want that. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I want the success of it, but I see now. I see what I need to do. I need to start by getting saved, and then I'll begin to grow. Who else? You say, that's what I need. I need to be saved. Those of you that just raised your hand in a moment, the people that are sitting on this platform, the assistant pastors will step off the platform. They'll post themselves on the lower floor down front at the end of an aisle. When we start what's called the invitation, you leave your seat, you come forward, walk up to one of the men and say, I want to be born again. We have someone with the Bible ready to show you how to be born again. Men, get to your positions quickly. Don't let anything stop you. If you're sitting in the middle of a section of pews, just say, excuse me, step out. The people let you out. If you're in the balcony, don't let anything stop you. Don't let the person sitting beside you stop you. If you need to be saved, you come and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Then you could begin growing. Now, let me ask the Christians in this house, has God spoken to your heart about your growth? I think there are people in here, you are backslidden in your growth, who here would say, God spoke to me about my growth today. Are you a saved person that would raise your hand and say, God spoke to me about my growth today? You might need the altar. If you do, you come. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin.